This podcast is a part of the Podmania Podcasting Network. Check out podmania.co.uk to check out more of our great podcasts, features, reviews, match ratings and previews spanning the crazy and diverse world of professional wrestling. Guys, and welcome to another episode of the Young Lion Cast. I'm your host, Rob Gooden. I'm joined, as ever, by the Young Lion himself, Chris O'Brien. How are you, my friend?
Last of Us Part 2 is affecting me emotionally in ways I didn't think was possible from a video game.
Okay, I've seen stellar reviews. Would you care to give your review?
No, because I haven't finished it. Also, it only came out like 2 days ago, and I can't talk about what I'm talking about without spoilers, and I don't want to spoil it for people. Just play it. Well, okay. I say that. It's expensive. If you can afford it, play it. If not, wait until you can afford it, and then play it.
Does it live up to the hype?
Well, what, to my expectations? Because Last of Us is my favourite game of all time. So, until it's finished, I couldn't tell you, but it is having similar emotion. Maybe this way, the original Last of Us is the first time I ever audibly gasped at a story beat in a video game, which Last of Us 2 has already done. So, yeah, it's doing all right so far. I'll hold off talking about whether or not it lives up to the expectations until I'm finished, but I don't think I've wasted my £50.
Okay, so I presume on our weekly Week in Wrestling on Friday, you will give us an update.
Yeah, probably.
Fair enough. Otherwise, apart from wasting your life on The Last of Us 2, what else have you been up to?
Watching X-Men.
Thoughts on the franchise?
In one of my notebooks, I'm actually keeping like a line graph of the movies to see, like, and it's weird because it's a proper zigzag going on. Like, you start with X-Men, which is like a solid 7, approaching an 8.
Are we talking out of 10?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you have X-Men 2, which goes up to a 9, and then Last Stand happens.
Oh, Last Stand, fucking hell. With Vinnie Jones as Juggernaut, the worst.
Isn't Juggernaut meant to be from Poland or something?
Yes, I believe he's Eastern European.
Yeah, so, and then you have fucking Vinnie Jones going, hey, okay, I'm a bloody Juggernaut. And it's like, fuck off.
I'm the bloody man.
I'm the fucking Juggernaut, bitch. It's like, oh, my God. And then Ellen Page was suddenly a very, like, important character and, like, fine, but I don't know. It's a mess. And then you had Wolverine, which I didn't think was awful, but like I get shouted at for not thinking it's awful. So we'll move on before I hurt myself more. And then like the new movies happen. So First Class is around a 7. Days of Future Past is a 9. Apocalypse is the next X-Men movie. I'm watching Deadpool in the middle just so I don't need to watch Apocalypse again so fast. But yeah. Oh, fuck. I still have Dark Phoenix to go as well. That's what I'm ending on. Oh, my God.
So hang on. Just to clarify your ratings there. You've given the first X-Men a 7/8.
Like a 7.8. Like, very close to being an 8, but like not quite.
Okay. Yet you've only given X-Men First Class a 7.
Did I say 7? I meant 8. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, that's acceptable, because in my opinion, First Class is the best film of the franchise.
It's definitely the funniest. Like, the montage where they're going around getting all the mutants, and like Charles Xavier is just a thirsty bitch. And then Magneto is basically trying to keep Charles's pants. But like, I'm quite disappointed because the internet led me to believe that there was a lot of gay shit going on, and there's no gay shit going on really. And like, could we get some more gay shit?
Is that what you're advocating?
What, Charles and Magneto fucking? Yes, yes, I am.
Okay, fair enough. What a comment to end on. We will, of course, ladies and gentlemen, be looking at some live New Japan. Thank God it's here.
It's been 34 years.
Oh my God, it's felt so fucking long. We're going to look at the Together Project show from Monday the 15th of June and the opening two nights of the New Japan Cup. But before we get to that, a couple of days ago, New Japan announced a few more dates after Dominion, which is very, very exciting indeed. They also announced the Lions Break Collision show, which will be running from Friday the 3rd to Friday the 24th. So we've got one on Friday the 3rd, one on Friday the 10th, and one on Friday the 17th of
They've
July.
Already been filmed, haven't they?
I believe so. The first two matches have been announced for the 3rd of July show. This, of course, at the same time, I believe, as one of the semi-final days of the Cup. The matches that have been announced thus far are the opener between Clark Connors and Alex Coughlin, and then a tag match between Jeff Cobb and Rocky Romero and TJP and Carl Frederick. So I assume it is going to be made up primarily of American talent that wouldn't be able to get into Japan.
Tom Lawler, it was on the shows as well, I believe.
I believe so. And if New Japan of America are able to secure Tom Lawler to a deal to solely represent them, that would be amazing.
Perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
Unbelievable. A performer on Mayfair. I can hear Antonio Inoki somewhere jizzing in his pants.
Yeah, Inoki would love filthy Tom Lawler.
Yeah, he would. It's to the point where he'd probably have him shoot on Hiromu.
Then, of course, we have Dominion on the 12th of July and the New Japan Cup final, of course, the day before on the 11th. We've then got the New Japan Road, the first show at Korakuen on July 20th. We then go to July 25th with Sengoku Lord in Nagoya, the show, of course, which last year was headlined by a really, really good intercontinental match between Kota Ibushi and Zack Sabre Jr. And then for the remaining dates, we have also got, as far as I'm aware, a brand new show with two dates at Korakuen, Monday the 27th of July and Friday the 31st, under the banner Summer Struggle 2020. So I assume, because obviously there's no Wrestle Dynasty now, that's been postponed to 2021. I assume this is going to be a big summer blowout. I assume this is going to be a big show in the New Japan calendar, especially as, fingers crossed, we'll have quite a few fans there. And who knows, we might even have more than 50% by that time, because we're looking at the end of July there, Chris. Are you excited about these dates, Chris?
But to be honest, at this point, I'd just take any New Japan, I'm still in that phase of just pure excitement. Again, it all depends on what they announce, what stories they tell. Because if we just throw matches together, I'm not for that. Again, we need to see how the cup goes and how stories develop. And hopefully we can have a good tag title match, because the Gorillas of Destiny are stuck in America. I've never been so happy.
I imagine by that point, the end of July, you're looking at a more or less full roster. I imagine travel will be easier by that point. Again, purely speculation, but I'm wondering if we're going to get a big card there, especially with it being at Korakuen.
We can only hope.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Anyway, let's get into some of these shows. So we started on Monday the 15th of June with the Together Project special, a really, really good montage to kick us off of fans missing New Japan and all the things that New Japan have put on World and all these things to tied us over from February until today. It was a really, really good thing to watch. It was really, really emotional, I thought. Did you enjoy it, Chris?
Yeah, my favourite part of it was Benito Baby. I found that adorable.
Yeah, that was adorable. That really was cute. And he lifts his eye up and does the L.I.J. fist. It was adorable. It really was. This show then was very, very similar to New Year Dash, where we wouldn't have the card announced until bell time. And our first match saw a Young Lion match with Yota Tsuji defeating Gabriel Kidd in 8 minutes and 43 seconds with the Boston Crab. Chris, opinions on this match?
It was a Young Lion match. I'm still not quite over seeing Gabriel Kidd in a New Japan ring. Like, it's just a bit weird, isn't it?
It is, especially as, you know, obviously you're a Brit Resmark.
I was, then this week happens.
Well, yeah, that's true. And Gabriel Kidd obviously was quite established on that scene, and then to see him sort of shunted back down the card to, you know, opening and losing quite spectacularly, it must be quite jarring. However, I thought he looked great here. Yota Tsuji still remains one of my favourite Young Lions I've seen. I just really like his power. I like his physique. I love the fact that he's different to every other Young Lion I feel like I've seen. You know, he's not cut. He's not tall, handsome, and, you know, a beautiful body and, you know, all this. He's a powerhouse. I can see him in a few years for that never open weight championship against someone like a Shingo, someone like an Ishii, someone like, you know, that sort of ilk of wrestler. I think that could be fantastic. I think that's going to be where he fits.
His facial hair is quite cool.
The what, sorry?
His facial hair is quite cool.
His facial hair is quite cool. He looks unkempt. I can imagine that at some point we are going to have a tag team of Yota Tsuji and the Great Okan.
Yeah. To be fair, Okan's tag champion Rev Pro, isn't he?
I believe so. He was, I think, at the point of lockdown.
Yeah, well, I doubt that's changed.
Yeah, fair enough. So, yeah.
I'm quite sad that we know who Okan is now, because I miss the Oka living in the mountain jokes.
Well, and we're going to talk about this in a moment. Obviously, New Japan teased this return or this new person coming to the roster, which I think everyone in there and their mum knows is going to be Kawato, but I saw the mountains and I thought, oh my God, Okan is coming from the mountains. He's coming back. I was so disappointed when I was like,
the Young Lion.
They listened, it's him. It's not. I think it's probably going to be Kawato. But nevertheless, I'm looking forward to Kawato coming back. We might as well talk about it now. But are you looking forward to this? Where do you see him going? Do you see him just picking up a random tag partner and being thrust into the junior tag division? Do you see him as a legitimate challenger for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship? And most importantly, which I know everyone loves, what faction do you see him in?
Okay, so first of all, I think I saw someone saying he's going to be the new Okada or something. It's like, no, you need to throw him in junior right now, because junior is normally so gaijin heavy that they're just sort of anemic right now. So he needs to be thrown into the juniors. For faction, I'm trying to think of what factions are missing juniors. And to be honest, I think he'll just wind up in main unit for like the first few months.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the main unit, and in the last couple of years, you've lost Liger and you've lost Kushida.
Yeah. Taguchi is the shell of the butt that he used to be.
Tiger Mask is, you know, he's winding down.
Yeah, he's also injured right now.
Exactly. So it would make sense.
I think everyone else sort of has more juniors than they need. Like, apart from LJ, because they only have Bushi and Hiromu. But, like, you look at Chaos and it's like Sho, Yo, Eagles, and Rocky. And it's like a bit overkill there. And same with Bullet Club. They have a fair few juniors knocking about. So, yeah, I think main unit's the best fit for now.
Yeah, because even Suzuki-Goo have got Kanemaru and Desperado and Dookie.
And Dookie, yeah.
To Luki, when they inevitably push him.
I'm surprised Dookie is not in this in the cup. We'll go on to that when we got into a certain match. Let's just fly through the rest of
the Together
projects. So Suzuki Gun of Despy and Kanemaru beat Ishii and Imamura, because of course. But this is actually really good because Kanemaru's a dick.
He is, but I also love him.
I do love him. Like, he seems like Suzuki Gun's dad.
What?
Like you know, drunk in the corner.
Okay, are you saying that just primarily because of the bottle of whiskey?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I assume he drinks it.
Well, there was a moment in the New Japan Cup where that was... Well, that seemed to be a bone of contention, obviously, because he can't spit it due to the coronavirus. It was very sad. I didn't like that.
You're still covering it.
I am.
Bullet Club of Jado, Taiji Ishimori and Taka took on Goto, Yano, Hashi and Homna, because, of course... yeah, this was just another fine one.
Hashi, by the way, cut to fuck.
Oh, absolutely. That man is ripped. Like, oh my god. Like, here's the thing. New Japan, like, people seem to pretend New Japan is all about work rate, when in reality, the only reason Sanada was getting pushed because he was tall, handsome, and in an LIJ, and people in Japan like that. So... this could actually mean a Jinder Mahal F push for Yoshihashi.
Yeah, he's got new gear. He's got a new look. He genuinely looked really, really good. And the same, actually, for Kanemaru in the previous match. I thought Kanemaru had leaned up a little bit.
Yeah, but to be fair, it's probably because, like, they've literally just been stuck because Japan ended up having really extreme lockdown, didn't they? Because they... relate to act, so like, yeah. all they could really do is stay home and work out.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it's a good look for Yoshihashi, and I agree with you completely. I think with Bushiroad, very, very open pushing of the more good-looking wrestlers, and I think this could be a very, very good opportunity for Yoshihashi to refine his skill, to make that push for that elusive title. Because let's not forget, he has been in this company back from Excursion since Wrestle Kingdom 6, the same time as Kazuchika Okada, and he has won no titles. No titles. No not even the no. six-man belts.
Not even the six. They don't count as belt. Anyway, yeah. And also because it's still half and half whether or not travel will be permitted by G1 time in August, I believe they're doing it. It's September this year, isn't it? Actually, I don't know what's happening because it's the Olympic. We don't know. But like, when come G1 time this year, he might be in there through necessity.
Yeah, and it's been hit and miss with Yoshihashi in G1s. He didn't have the best G1 in 28. He was taken out completely in G1 29. But his G1 27 was pretty good.
Like, especially those first three or four matches, he was like consistently second best match of the night. You know, and this is a block of like Nagata, Goto, Ishii, and Naito. So,
final thing then on this match, Tori Yano. Obviously coming out, instead of the bottle of water and spitting everywhere, he had a spray bottle and was sanitizing the ring and sanitizing Yujiro, which I thought was absolutely fucking hilarious.
There was a great tweet from Chris Charlton. It was like, Toriano's looking for social distancing, but I've been asking for social distancing from Gino for about a year now.
Oh, by the way, obviously Yujiro got the win with the pimp juice. When was the last time Yujiro picked up a pinfall victory?
Apparently, he normally cleans up in undercard tag matches.
I mean, like, I haven't seen... This is how long I haven't seen Yujiro pick up a victory. I forgot what his finisher was. I knew it was called the Pimp Juice. Could not remember what it looked like.
I'm pretty sure I've seen him pick up wins on, like, New Japan Road and stuff like that. But, like, that barely counts.
Exactly. So, match four then. Chris, obviously, from here, full disclosure, I've had a really, really, really busy week, so I've seen all of the Cup. I stopped after this. This was the sacrifice I made for my busy week. So, Chris, you're pretty much going to have to take it from here. So, the fourth match was the team of Taguchi, Satoshi Kojima, and Hiroshi Tenzan defeating the team of Bushi, Sanada, and Evil in 13 minutes and 33.
Taguchi and Tenkoji.
No, they didn't.
Okay, then fucking cage match is lying to me, then.
Correct, because Taguchi tapped out Bushi with Oh My Anger Ankle.
Okay. I barely remember this match because it was just a random six-man tag match. It was fun. Like, you have two of the best in L.I. Jones, one team, and Sanada.
Contentious.
And Tenzan is in the, like, oh, this was never going to be a banger, and it was fine. Like, it was fine. Let's move on. Then it was Tana, Ibushi, Makabe, and Nagata beating Suzuki Gun of Duaki, Suzuki, Taichi, and CSJ. I'm just happy to. By the way, I don't know if you watch the tag matches, but Suzuki Gun has a new tag team, entrance theme, and it's amazing.
No, I didn't see this.
Because I remember hearing it, I was like, is that Dookie's theme? I'm like, no, Dookie, they wouldn't give Dookie a theme. But like, it's actually pretty, it rips, it fucking slaps, it's great.
Fantastic, nice.
This wasn't as good as the Suzuki Gun versus main unit match from first day of the Cup, so we'll just talk about it more. The highlight is obviously Nagata and Suzuki slapping the shit out of each other, and that will become a running theme this week. And then LIJ of Taka, Shingo, Naito beat Okada, Sho, and Yo. This was great. Sho took so much punishment. Like, so much punishment.
It's weird, like, because it was in Roppongi 3K, you sort of look at them and you automatically assume that Yo is the one that will take the heat and Sho is the hot tag. And it never is. Yo is always the hot tag, and I've never understood that. It works, but I've never understood it.
I think it's because that means Yo gets... And again, Sho always gets pinned by Suzuki Gun. It's weird. But yeah, like, Sho was definitely the standout in this match. He was just tearing it up every time he got his Hulk spots in. Okada with Okada. It was just nice seeing Naito again. I've missed him. and Hiromu. Oh my god, when he came out, I squeaked a little. Love that man. Shingo was also there. There was this weird reverse Destiner from Naito onto Yo. It was like, you know what it was like? It was, you know that stunner thing that Darby Allin does?
Yeah, that flips over the top and does it.
Yeah, it was like that.
Fair enough, sounds ace. Again, it's one that I wanted to check out, but with everything that was going on, it was the one thing that had to make the sacrifice and sort of not watch, because it was either that or not watch one of the nights of the Cup, and obviously I wasn't going to do that. So with this basically being something to sort of forward storylines for the Cup, I thought, I'm just going to watch the Cup, which we'll move on to now then, Chris.
Yeah, we should. Very quickly, what did you think of the live setup, like, in the dojo?
I liked it. I thought, it's weird, I didn't notice the lack of crowd as much in the New Japan shows as I did with AEW or WWE. And I don't know why that is, because, you know, they were equally as empty. But I don't know what it was. It didn't seem to affect me in the same way.
I think it's because by the time New Japan came around, we were just used to it.
Maybe. I wonder as well, you've got a big difference between American crowds and Japanese crowds, where American crowds are very chanty, they are very into it, whereas Japan crowds are more respectful and spend larger portions of the match quieter. Not silent, but quieter. And I wonder if that's something to do with it.
No, because honestly, even with shows where you don't, like, Raw doesn't normally have a hot crowd, but, like, you still feel it there. So honestly, I think it literally is just because we're used to it. Because it was weird in, like, Noah shows and in All Japan shows and Stardom shows, and there was no one there as well. So
Fair enough. Fair enough. Let's kick straight into the cup then. So the first match of night one saw Togi Makabe defeat Yota Tsuji in 8 minutes and 41 seconds after hitting the German suplex. Chris, opinion?
As soon as that opening spear happened, I was like, oh my God, Goldberg! 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 And then he just kept hitting spears, and every time he hit it, I was like, big dog! Big dog! Big dog Yota Tsuji. This is probably the best way he could have done it. Like, Makabe didn't normally bump, but he actually bumped, which is nice of him. I was surprised Tsuji got in as much as he did. He was on top for a fair amount of his match, but like, Makabe just overall with more experience outmaneuvered him, got a German. I find it weird that he didn't hit a King Kong knee drop, but also I guess it's sort of to put over Tsuji isn't on anyone's level yet. Maybe.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think they gave Tsuji a lot in this match, and you're absolutely right, Makabe is not one for bumping in today's New Japan, and he bumped a lot for Tsuji. But again, you know, it's a young lion, you don't want to expel too much energy on a young lion. I loved this match, you know, I think we both gave it a 7. I always find it difficult to invest in a young lion match when they are against an established member of the roster, because you know they aren't going to win. But, you know, that doesn't stop me enjoying them. And there were moments, even though, again, you are programmed to think New Japan Young Lions are not going to win, there's still a moment, like you say, Tsuji hitting that spear straight out of the gate. You're like, oh my God, no, absolutely not. And then Makabe kicks out at 2. This is why I think Tsuji would be perfect for the never openweight division when he comes back. He's just got that build, and these are the sort of matches that he can have. I mean, Makabe is at that point in his career where if he's with the right person, he will have a good match, but 9 times out of 10, you know it's going to be a very cut and dry paced sort of match.
But like, you recently watched G128, didn't you?
I am going to quickly say, Chris, that's nearly 2 years ago, mate.
I know, but like, that's the last time we had extended Makabe singles. So like, I don't think he's had a singles match since, apart from in the cup last year. Was there anything good in G128 for Makabe? Because I remember reviewing those shows and just Makabe being worse in his block.
He had a relatively good match against Suzuki, but that was it, really.
Well, that's mostly down to history between the two, I think.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he's been on the decline for a while. And the fact that he was willing to give so much to Tsuji, I think, speaks volumes of what they see in Tsuji.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was, you know, it was a good match. You expected Makabe to go through. Makabe does go through. And we have our first entrant into round 2. Now, before Chris blows a gasket, because I know he's going to over this match, let's just announce it. So the second match saw Tori Yano defeat Jado in 9 minutes and 7 seconds with a schoolboy. Chris, you have the floor.
This is the worst New Japan match I have ever seen in my life. Oh my God. Why is Jado in this tournament? It's not like you don't have someone else there. You have Dookie there. Like, I understand, like, Yano versus Dabaki isn't going to fucking set the world on fire. But Jado, seriously. Like, this didn't even set the world on fire. Like, this poured ice over the grass. I don't get why this match existed. I don't get why I didn't skip it. I don't get why we didn't do more comedy shit. I don't get why nothing fucking happened. I don't understand how somehow Yujiro Takahashi made a match more interesting. That shouldn't be a sentence that comes out my mouth, because it's not like Yujiro Takahashi is an inherently interesting performer. It's just that one of the performers in this match couldn't move. Like, his shirt was pretty cool, but like, otherwise, no, go away. No one enjoyed this. Nobody.
Yeah, I think Yano would have got a more entertaining match out of a block of obsidian, because Jado was completely immobile. And for all the shit I'm going to give Okada and Gedo, spoiler, at least Gedo can put together a sort of match, whereas this was awful. How this went 9 minutes and 7 seconds, I have absolutely no idea. I understand that you've only got 5 matches on a card, but give each match, you know, each of the other matches another minute, minute and a half, and just give this over to comedy. Or if you are invested in giving it the full 9 minutes, 7 seconds, have more comedy. But there just seemed to be nothing. There seemed to just be a lot of walking around. I can't remember. There was a standoff at some point between Yano holding the turnbuckle pad and Jado holding the kendo stick. And it just, everything seemed to be in slow motion. I understand you've got to make allowances because, you know, Jado is getting on in age and obviously, you know, you've got to be careful. But if you are that worried about him, don't put him in the fucking cut. You're absolutely right. Just put Dookie in. Don't matter if he loses. You know, no one's going to give a shit. Yano was going through anyway. But yeah, this was hard watching. Very, very hard watching. And I love Yano. I absolutely love Yano. He is more often than not one of my favourite things about a G1 climax. But this, even Yano couldn't save this. Dave Meltzer gave it -1 stars, and I genuinely think that's too generous.
Dud. We don't do minus here. So, dud. It's a dud.
Yeah, we, just to go back, we gave Makabe versus Yota Tsuji a 7. And then we gave this a dud. Again, we don't go into minus, but I think if we did go into minus, this would certainly be there, wouldn't it?
When I think I'd given a minus, like, in my head for that's when I give someone a minus score, it's for ironic enjoyment. For example, Hulk Hogan versus Shawn Michaels is a -10-star match for me.
Yeah. This just, it was boring. That was what made it worse. If there was botches, I can sort of accept that. But it was just dull. And again, the best thing about this match was Jado taking 15 minutes to take a bump and then doing the Ric Flair face plant, which was relatively funny. But that was it. It was dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. Let's move on. Match 3. So we had one tag match to break up our New Japan Cup matches, and the tag match for night one was the Suzuki-gun team of Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Minoru Suzuki, Zack Sabre Jr., and Taichi defeating Yuya Uemura, Yuji Nagata, Kota Ibushi, and Hiroshi Tanahashi in 13 minutes and 27 seconds after the Gotch-style pile driver. Chris, what did you think of this match?
As a tournament teaser, I loved it because it set up stories for literally everyone. Okay, so Minoru Suzuki and Nagata kept hitting each other, as is their God-given right as old men. We had Kanemaru just basically baiting Uemura. And then, my favorite thing, Zack Sabre Jr. and Taichi continually isolating Tana and Ibushi and targeting their legs. Like, they'd hold one and then keep giving them leg whips. Like, that's a tag team working together to weaken their partners. That's great. That's great shit. And honestly, if that's followed on going into the rest of their cup matches, I believe they're tomorrow, actually, that's going to be great. Oh my god, I'm so into this. This match made me excited to see everyone. And then, like, at the end, Uemura and Kanemaru set up. Kanemaru hit Uemura with a whiskey ball for the Gotch Power Driver. It was great. Great stuff.
This is what tag matches need to be.
Yeah.
And this was perfect. This went 30 minutes, and it breezed by. You had the storylines being advanced, and you're absolutely right. We talked about it in the last podcast where we previewed the cup and everything to come. We talked about that what feels like a matchup that is coming between Ibushi and Tanahashi and Sabre and Taichi for the tag straps. And this set that up beautifully. And the fact that you had so many working parts, and I know that most undercard tags do this, but this, it felt like it was far more obvious, and it worked. The pace was great. Just the storytelling was great. And the thing that I am most excited about coming out of this is that tag match between the Golden Aces and Dangerous Techers. That's the thing I'm most excited about.
When was the last time we were at all excited about a tag title? I can't remember the last time I was excited about a heavyweight tag title match.
It's amazing. Like, it's one of the things that we constantly badmouth about New Japan, and anyone that does a New Japan podcast, anyone that watches New Japan as a product, cannot honestly say that their tag division is worth anything. It is utter crap. Oh.
You know, it's hilarious. So in a New Japan page on Facebook, I posted going, how can New Japan look at Noah or Japan, Stardom, etc., and be at all okay with their tag division? And then someone put, because they're not like Western companies. I'm like, I named Noah and All Japan. Like, stop going. If you're going to go for clout, at least be clever.
Honestly, honestly, if New Japan booked their tag in the exact same way that All Japan do, or that Noah do, where if you aren't in a title program, you're put into the tag scene. I mean, look at the invigoration that simply putting Ibushi and Tanahashi into that tag division has put. This is the most excited I've been for a tag team match in God knows how long. God knows how long. Probably the Bucks and the Golden Lovers is the last time that I was excited, this excited for a New Japan tag
Bucks
match.
And LIJ excited me.
Bucks and LIJ didn't excite me. Bucks and LIJ, I knew they'd have a great match, and everyone in that match is a fantastic worker, and they didn't disappoint. This, I'm legitimately excited for. And
yeah.
I don't know if it's just because there's a little bit of build there, or, you know, if it's just because, you know, the Young Bucks haven't come out and randomly inserted themselves into it, despite the fact that they have no logical claim for it. It's something that I am excited. I think it's because I want to see Sabre and Taichi be the linchpins of that division.
Yeah. I remember you being excited for CSJ and Suzuki taking on Sanada and Evil.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. Yes, from New Beginning last year, I was very, very excited for that. And then it was a bit of a wet fart, wasn't it? Which was slightly disappointing.
But except the individual singles matches were pretty good.
Yeah, the individual matches were great because, again, look who's in that. You're not going to have bad matches. I don't know, it was just a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, it was. Like, because they just didn't feel like a serious threat in the end, which is a shame.
Straight after this, then, we had what I thought was randomly someone coming in to, like, be a return or a debut. No, it was just the Young Lions cleaning the ring in full-on PPE gear, which was slightly disappointing. But I do like that. I like the fact that we do have intermissions where they're cleaning the ropes, the mat, everything. I think that's really, really good that they're taking it that seriously. We came back to the fourth match and the third match of the first round of the Cup with Hiromu Takahashi defeating Tomoaki Honma in 18 minutes and 45 seconds with the time bomb. Chris, when we previewed this match in our previous podcast, we were reticent, let's say. We were slightly reserved because we know how good Hiromu is. We know how good Honma was, but obviously with Honma's injuries, you know, and as we mentioned, Takahashi's offense being mainly neck-based, we were slightly concerned about this match. And then, you know, looking at it on face value, thinking, oh my God, there's a Honma singles match that went 18 minutes, nearly 19. You'd be forgiven for looking at this and going, oh my God, this is the drizzling shit. This was really, really entertaining. Like,
this is good.
More entertaining than I thought it was going to be.
I think what we forgot is Honma's complete disregard of his own safety.
There was one moment where they were setting up for a suplex to the outside, and obviously it's New Japan, this never happens. But I was like, no, this can't possibly happen. And then I remembered, oh, hang on, Honma used to be a deathmatch wrestler. Maybe it will happen. And then there was a DVD on the apron, which Honma took. And I was like, oh my God, he's dead. They've actually killed Honma. But no, this was great. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this match, Chris.
This was great. This was stiff. My favourite thing about this was the fact that if someone told me that Honma was Takahashi's dad, I'd just completely believe them.
Yeah, fair enough.
They have very similar styles, a.k.a. just basically yeeting themselves at their opponents. Honda's tried really hard, and Takahashi slowed down just enough to make sure that Honda could keep up, which is good. Like, you look at, say, a Taiji Ishimori match, he very rarely slows down and someone can't keep up, which can sometimes lead to a mismatched match. But here, it was totally fine. The running story of Honda always trying to hit a Kakashi always works well, because the dude just keeps driving his head into the mat and you're like, stop, Honda, for the love of God, stop it.
It was when he tried it when Hiromu was on the outside and Honda went up top. I was like, no. And then he didn't. And I was like, thank fucking Christ. But that moment where Hiromu comes off the ropes, real full pace, and Honda takes him out with that diving Kokashi. Oh, it was mwah. Beautiful, beautiful.
Absolute. I did not expect. So, like, Rob, as you know, I'm a bit of a compulsive weirdo.
Sure.
And I've kept track of every match I consider 8 out of 10 or higher on the Notes app on my phone. I didn't think Takahashi Honda would appear on my match of the year, Fred, but he has.
Yeah, and you know what? This wasn't just Hiromu. Sure, Hiromu played a fantastic part in this. His charisma, his ingenuity, his pace, his storytelling. But Honda was really, really good here. Really good. He was stiff. He told good stories. He kept up. And, yep, fine, Hiromu slowed down, but not enough to really notice it. And I thought, this is the best Honda singles match we've had in years, and he deserves all the plaudits that he gets. He deserves all the plaudits he can get for taking the DVD in the corner and the time bomb.
Yeah, and like, what the time? I was, when he went for the time bomb, I was like, Homer's gonna die now.
Well, it looked a little bit botchy the first time, and I rewound it, and it wasn't. It was just because it was it looked a bit like a snap one, as in, like, you know, Takahashi didn't take the usual amount of time for the pageantry. He just sort of hit it, which looked a little bit better. But yeah, a really, really good match. Takahashi moves on to face Yano in the next round, which it can't be any worse than the Jado match. And I think this could be fantastic. I really do think this could be amazing. They can go two ways. They can go Hiromu just wrestling circles around Yano, or you can have a comedy match, because let's face it, Hiromu is batshit enough to go toe-to-toe with Yano in the comedy stakes. The more I think about it, and we've both put Hiromu through, I just don't know he's going to beat Yano.
Quite frankly, Rob, your brackets are already fucked. So.
Oh, completely. But I'm not arsed, and we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah, so next was Ishii and Despy, and what a match.
Yeah, Tomohiro Ishii defeating El Desperado in 20 minutes and 17 seconds with the vertical drop brainbuster. Storytelling 101, brilliant. Desperado targeting Ishii's knee for the entirety of this match, and the payoff was just one move, and it was amazing. Ishii going for that powerbomb, and his knee just giving out.
Just crumpling, yeah.
Oh, just the payoff to that was absolutely fantastic. And it does make me laugh, because when they were grappling, there's literally no difference between Desperado and Ishii, which is quite funny. In high, and, you know, now that Desperado's thickened out a little bit, there's not a lot of difference in body girth, to be honest, is there?
No, actually. Ishii for better Super Juniors confirmed, I guess.
Oh, Ishii versus Hiromu for the Junior Heavyweight Championship. Count me in.
I mean, what? You mean, like, basically your wet dream?
Oh, my God. I'd lose my shit.
You would lose your shit. Yeah, this match was just great. There's nothing more effective than a decent leg match. And this was a decent leg match, so...
But again, it's got to have a payoff. And yeah, that's what really bugs me about so many matches, that they don't have payoffs. You do all this work and then whoever. So, you know, for everything good that I have to say about Tanahashi, and, you know, he's absolutely phenomenal, there's nothing that irritates me more than when he's had his knee worked over and he still jumps over the ropes to go and hit the high fly flow. It's like, mate, you've just had your knee worked for 30 plus minutes. At least climb tentatively over the ropes. And it's always been a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. I noticed it even more when we were doing the Okada rundown. But this was perfect. Just that little caveat of just, right, I'm going to get him up, shit, I can't, and just collapse into the floor. Absolutely amazing. Full credit to El Desperado. I bought him as a heavyweight in this match.
Yeah. I've missed Despy in singles action. We haven't had it in like 2 years now.
You do forget how long it's been since we've seen Despy in proper singles action, because obviously he missed the best of the Super Juniors with a broken jaw.
This is normally his only time to do it. Otherwise, he's with Kanemaru. And he's great with Kanemaru, don't get me wrong. Like, their matches with Roppongi 3K, well, too frequent for mine and Rob's liking, our steady slew of bangers. But I don't know. I think they should try and give Despy a title shot while there's no foreigners in the promotion, because that's always a great match.
Well, there is story there between Despy and Takahashi.
Yeah, their match in Best of Super Juniors 2 years ago was one of the best at the tournament.
Well, not just that, but they've got history dating back to Mexico. So, you know, if there was ever a ready-made challenger for Takahashi, surely El Desperado is that person.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a different kind of match. They sort of turn into a garbage brawl more often than not when these two face. Like, they're fighting for crowd and shit. And, like, with Hiromu and Dragon Lee, where they're just slapping each other.
For seven
endlessly.
Minutes.
Like, for 7 minutes. Oh, my God. And Jesus. But, yeah, this match was great. I'm just happy to see Ishii again. I think his second round, what he has lined up for the second round, is going to be great.
Well... Yeah, I mean, obviously he's got Makabe in the next round.
Yeah, but Makabe and Ishii is one of those matches where you don't need to take bumps. Like, if you remember back to the Wrestle Kingdom 9 match, which both, me and you both raved about.
We did, but that was 5 years ago.
It was 5 years ago, but also, can you name a single... Like, I'm pretty sure you can count the amount of bumps in that match on one hand, so...
Oh, no, if they go all out and it is just a striking match and literally just two hosses beating the shit out of each other, then don't get me wrong, I am fucking down for that. But
just two dudes being guys.
Yeah, if they then start, you know, if randomly they decide to start having a wrestling masterclass, then it will crash and burn, but I am quietly confident.
Just suddenly Togo Makabe turns into Zack Sabre Jr.
Wrestling masterclass. He's
just there working over Ishii's leg perfectly, which would be good because Desperado did a lot of damage.
That is true.
It's Makabe. I don't think he actually has the... I say that. Isn't he meant to be like extremely clever? Doesn't he host a new show?
What's that got to do with being clever?
Good point. That's actually a really good point. You just need to be able to read.
So I gave it a high 8, low 9.
I gave this high 7, low 8. I do need to rewatch it, but
Meltzer gave it 4.25 stars, which makes it the second highest rated match of the cup so far.
Yeah, well, I don't think anything in the first round is going to top my favourite of the cup so far, which we'll be getting onto in a bit.
Yeah, let's get on to that night then. So we opened the 17th of June show with the first round match between Gabriel Kidd and Ishimori, with Ishimori defeating Kidd in 8 minutes and 53 seconds with the Yes Lock. This match was good. I didn't enjoy it as much as the Tsuji versus Makabe match. And you made a really, really good point in the chat when you said that Kid struggled to keep up with Ishimori, and you referenced it earlier about Takahashi slowing down just a little bit so that Honma could keep up, and Ishimori, I feel, didn't do that with Kid.
Yeah, and with Ishimori it's even worse because he's probably the fastest on the roster. Like, in terms of his like pure speed, it's like someone from Stardom. So if you have someone who just can't keep up, and Kid not small. He's a fairly big dude. So, like, of course he can't keep up with Ishimori. I don't think anyone kid's kind size really could. So, yeah, of course, this led to some mismatches. She's like, kid tried his fucking best, but, like, what the fuck are you going to do?
Oh, now, I don't want people to go away and think this is a bad match. It's, you know, it's a fine match. And
it's a good match.
It's just that you could tell that kid has got a lot to learn. And, you know, it was a little bit of a mismatch with someone who is as inherently quick as Ishimori is. There was a little bit of dead space in the middle of it as well, which I didn't particularly like. I felt, you know, it was a first round match. You know, it's not one that anyone is going to be talking about come the end of the cup, and it's not going to be one that anyone's talking about even come the end of the night. So it was fine. Ishimori moved on with the yes lock. Kid, again, on for great things, and it's not a bad match. I gave it 5, you know, right down the middle of the road, nothing wrong with it. I just think there was a little bit of a mismatch.
Yeah, same.
However, moving on to the second match, Yoshinobu Kanemaru defeated Yuya Uemura in 9 minutes and 32 seconds with a deep impact. Conversely to the previous match, I really liked this.
This was really good. Kanemaru is great at working with less experienced people, because especially like now, like, I haven't seen a ton of his Noah work, but I'm sure he was, like, a more traditional... From what I've seen, he was a bit more of a traditional junior in Noah, whereas, like, here, he just sort of outsmarts people and, like, lays traps and let people fall into them. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And here, you've got Uemura, who attempted to do what Tsuji did against Makabe and literally fly out of the traps at Kanemaru. And Kanemaru was very clever in the way that he sort of invited that pressure on. You knew if he rode it out, that Uemura would tire himself out and he'd be able to take the match away from him. And that's what eventually what he did.
It's the Homer Simpson strategy. You get punched in the face until your opponent gets bored of it and you nudge them down.
Exactly. It's Homer Simpson, isn't it? Since someone mentioned about the potential of Uemura being the new Tiger Mask once this current incarnation retires, I cannot get it out of my head. And you could, like, his dropkick is fucking beautiful. I don't know. There's something about Uemura that I see as Tiger Mask. And I don't know if you share the same, or there's just something about him that I see as, you know, a real star in the future of the junior division.
Yeah. Like, he's super young, isn't he? Well, obviously he's a young lion. But...
Let's have a look at when his birthday is. Let's see if it says on the website.
25 years old.
He's 25 years old. So there you go. 1994 he was born. He's got a lot of years in front of him.
Yeah. Especially, like, he could be a Tiger Mask fairly quickly. Like, a Tiger Mask moveset is very much, like, the flashiest thing in there. Like, in terms of, if you're just carrying on from 4, is, like, it's just Tiger Suplexes and stuff like that. Because he doesn't do, like, the handspring thing, dives to the outside, but the first one did, and no one's expecting anyone to be Misawa, so...
Well, that's the thing. This incarnation of Tiger Mask is completely different to Misawa, completely different from any other Tiger Mask. So what if Uemura's Tiger Mask does do those things? What if he's, you know, a different incarnation with, you know, the same signature moves but a different moveset?
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
Fair enough. Kanemaru wins, completely the right decision. I really enjoyed their chemistry. They had the chemistry that I feel the kid and Ishimori lacked. I constantly enjoy Kanemaru. This I did watch with the English commentary, and I laughed when Kevin Kelly mentioned that Kanemaru was his guilty pleasure, because he has to every time Kanemaru's on screen. It's like a default thing. But yeah, really, really good match. Solid match. I gave it 6.
I gave it 6 as well, yeah.
Oh, was so simpatico, Chris. God. Anyway, third match was our undercard tag for the evening with the Chaos team of Roppongi 3K, the newly cut Yoshihashi and Hirooki Goto, defeating the LIJ team of Evil, Sonata, Shingo, and Bushi. Bushi again taking the pin in 12 minutes and 16 seconds with the GTR. Chris, I have a confession to make. I didn't watch this. What did you think of it?
It was fun. You know, you have seven of the best workers in New Japan today, and Bushi. So it's been a... So, of course, it was really fun. Standoff between Sho and Shingo. Never not going to be here for that. I was quite sad that we didn't throw Taguchi in here. Because who did Yoshihashi have in the first round?
Sonata.
None of these guys. Yeah, so I'm not being funny. He could have taken away Hashi and inserted Taguchi. Because then you can set up Taguchi and Sonata. Also... Taguchi and Sonata have this weird chemistry that I can't quite describe, but it's present and weird and possibly sexual.
Well, I believe that's Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
So you've got on Monday, as we record this on the Sunday, so on Monday the 22nd, we've got Tanahashi taking on Taichi, Ibushi taking on Zack Sabre Jr.,
not quite.
Sonata versus Taguchi and Shingo versus Sho.
Yeah, that's tasty.
What a night that is going to be.
I know, like, it's not, nothing's going to quite touch a Taichi match against that Jobber Tanahashi, but Sho and Shingo, you can't complain. I enjoy Ibushi and DSJ every time they face. I don't think we've ever had a bad match. And then again, we get to see the weird chemistry between. Like, do you? It's weird that I remember like 2017 never open weight six man tag belts tag matches, but I do. And Taguchi and Sonata definitely have a chemistry.
I'm more than up for that. We did say when we previewed it that even though that was probably going to be the weakest match of the night, that was because it was a strong night as opposed to this being a poor match. When
It's super weird, tomorrow's card, because you have sort of like people like Shingo, Tana, Taichi, ZSJ, and Ibushi, and Sonata, all of which, like, if someone said, I think they could win, I wouldn't bat an eyelid. And then, like, directly underneath it, you just have, like, your gabble of no-hopers. Like, you have your Yoshihashi, your Tenzan, your Kojimas, your Yujiros, and it's like, okay, weird.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Taguchi gets a surprise roll-up victory. He won't. It will absolutely 100% be Sonata. But I wouldn't be surprised. His match against Tanahashi in last year's Cup was actually really entertaining, so...
It's all right. I found it weird that Tanahashi didn't like being with High Fly Flow, but this is when like Tanahashi's knees were basically sawdust.
Exactly. Let's move on, Chris, then, to the semi-main. Oh, the semi-main, Chris. Let's just remember that. So our semi-main, I am going to repeat that once more, of the show was Yuji Nagata defeating Minoru Suzuki in 20 minutes and 35 seconds with the backdrop hold. Oh my God, this match was fucking great.
Oh my God, this match made me stand hard as fuck. Okay, so it's weird because there's actually not all that much to talk about because it was basically first 5 minutes slapping each other, you know, as is their want. And then it went to the outside, they kept throwing each other about, and then they battled back in and started hitting each other even more, like to the point where by the end, like the side of each man's face was red.
I messaged you and just said, oh my God, the state of Nagata's face. And this was about 5 minutes in because they literally just went at each other with slaps and forearms from the get-go and did not relent for absolutely ages.
Yeah, not like at all. Like, oh my God. How did neither man die? And... I know, I think that's the sort of their chemistry. You've done the wrestling in one match, and it was also, like, a brutal bloodbath. Like, I just don't... Like, both men can wrestle, but I don't think either man will ever wrestle each other or just do this until the end of time. Like, to just sort of punctuate how good this was, we didn't have a bump until the last 20 seconds of the match.
No, not at all. And we spoke on the last podcast about how Nagata is one of the dads that can still go. And if this was a title match for, say, the Never Openweight Championship, I would totally buy it. And it's actually sort of made me want a Nagata Never Openweight title run just to see him have matches like just literally no bump slugfests against the like of Suzuki, Ishii, Shingo. You know, all these people that can just throw hands. I mean, apart from the punches and forearms and just the sound of those slaps, those hard fucking open hand slaps that they were delivering towards the end was just like, you're going to kill one of them is going to die. One of them is going to die.
Yeah. Thing is, last year we had the Nagata Ishii match. That was great too.
That was awesome.
I understand, like, Nagata doesn't get many outings because of where he's in his career, but he should get some more, like, because he's always, like, his, against a good opponent, like, his flaw seems to be 8 out of 10. Like, I was just watching G127, like, last month, and I think he had 2 matches under 8 out of 10. He brought an 8 out of 10 out of Fale to sort of reiterate how good he was, and he's at the point where he's not going to get much worse. Honestly, I think this is the worst Nagata's ever going to be. And that's amazing.
Hear me out, okay? Would you be opposed to Nagata and Kojima being in the tag division?
No. Mostly because it means Tenzan could finally fucking retire.
Tenzan needs to retire. Not because he's terrible, but just because I worry every time he's in the ring that he's going to seriously hurt himself.
He's a tree. Paul Yoshihashi has to do something with a tree. No, that would be great. Like, because again, as you know, Rob, I'm a big fan of old men dropping younger men on their heads.
It's basically
the whole reason why I love the Violent Giants, to be honest.
The Violent Giants are fucking great.
But
yeah, I agree with you. This match was absolutely banging. We thought it would be when we did our preview. We said it was going to be a match of that side, and Jesus Christ, was it. I gave it 9. I could watch this match again and again and again. You're absolutely right. It's completely akin to Nagata's match with Ishii, apart from the fact that this time he actually went over, which not only fucked my bracket, but gives us Nagata versus Okada in the next round, which... wow, I'm looking forward to that as well.
That's some good shit. And also, yeah, you've already lost our predictions. So, Taichi to the finals, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, I don't see Ishii winning. And all I can think now is there's 2 possibilities for me now that Suzuki's out. I think you are going to go, Sanada is finally going to beat Okada to win the cup.
I'd hate that, but go on.
It's a redemption arc. It works. And then have that LIJ versus LIJ at Dominion, which would be fucking great. I don't think they'll do it, but could be great. Or, and I hate to say this, you get Tai Chi winning it.
Yes.
But I don't want another Naito versus Tai Chi match. I don't like him.
But the thing is, you've never rated one. Well,
no, don't say that. Do not say that. You know that's bollocks.
I forgot about New Beginning. I purged it from my mind. But, like, their G1 match and the Power Struggle match were both massive bangers.
The Power Struggle match, I will give you, was far, far, far better.
And the Power Struggle match, the only criticism we gave is that they were barely given 10 minutes.
We'll see. I don't think they're going to revisit that yet. I think Tai Chi will get a chance. I don't think it will be yet. And I do see Tai Chi as a future Intercontinental Champion. I don't think he'll win the big one, but I do see him as a future Intercontinental Champion.
He should win the big one.
I know he should, babe. So then we move on to what was the main event of Night 2, inexplicably, with Kazuchika Okada defeating Gedo with the Cobra Clutch in a match that went 15 minutes... and 30 seconds.
Fuck's sake, even when Okada goes 15 minutes, his matches are too long.
Honestly, why? Why did Gedo get any offense in on Okada, never mind dominating the fucking proceedings.
Here's the thing. I didn't mind the beginning because he was hitting him with a hammer. But there's a certain point where that gets boring. I like the dynamic Okada and Gedo had was good because Gedo was able to avoid a lot of Okada's signature offense because Gedo used to train Okada and Okada hasn't changed his game in about 5 years. But Okada then just overwhelms Gedo because Gedo's an old man and also a junior, picks up a win. I think that's an inherently good story that could have been told in 7 minutes.
I was absolutely baffled that at the 10-minute call, Gedo was still in control. It was
the match took ages
to get going, and then just it never seemed to hit second gear. Okada was coasting. Gedo was just being Gedo. Yeah, okay, they had a relatively good chemistry. Relatively so, but this
had good chemistry for. Again, this is a story between Gedo and Okada. This is a story that can sustain maybe 7 minutes tops.
It just because this was the main event of the night did not mean it had to go 15 minutes. Just because it had Okada in it does not mean it needed to be the main event. And this did not in any way need to be the main event. We do not need to see Gedo in any main event ever. And props to him. He can move a lot better than Jado can. And
well, yeah, but like fucking
Fridges can move better than Jado can.
A mountain can move better than Jado can.
This was boring. It was dull. It was long. And I don't want to talk about this match because
there's nothing to talk about. Again, like all story beats mentioned, we've already mentioned, and again, they're good story beats. But what's the best way to describe this? I don't mind watching an episode of, say, Family Guy for 20 minutes, but I would not want to watch a 2-hour movie of Family Guy.
No. And again, you're absolutely right. They could have condensed this into 5 minutes even. All of the things that they were doing, they could have condensed. And it's almost like that Okada cannot have a match that's any shorter than 15 minutes. You know, I hated it. I really, really did not enjoy it.
Okada matches is often the biggest problem is that they go too long. Like, for example, the Sonata matches, like a lot of people do shit on them. I think a lot of them are really good, especially their King of Pro Wrestling and G1 matches. But they didn't need to go as long as they did. And that's Okada's problem. He always has too much time on his hands. And like that's partly down to New Japan definitely having a main event formula. But like this is a match that definitely should be free of said formula, and yet it wasn't. And the fact that this was the main event is baffling, and the fact that it went 15 minutes was baffling. But again, it does have good bits in it. Like honestly, I think Gedo attacking Okada with a hammer is slightly amazing. Like I'm feeling a 3 at most, but probably around a 2.
Meltzer gave it 1, which, you know, is 2 in our ratings because you just double them. And yeah, I think 3 is doing it far too much of a service, to be perfectly honest. It was like, not enjoyable.
The way I see it, it's a really bad match with some decent aspects. Like, it's not irredeemable like the Yano match.
Right, so just before we sign off for you, ladies and gentlemen, just to clarify, your second round matches on the left-hand side of the bracket are Togi Makabe versus Tomohiro Ishii, Tori Yano versus Hiromu Takahashi. You've then got Kazuchika Okada versus Yuji Nagata and Yoshinobu Kanemaru versus Taiji Ishimori. Again, on the right-hand side, for tomorrow's show, the 22nd of June, you've got Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Taichi, Kota Ibushi versus Zack Sabre Jr., Taguchi versus Sanada, and Sho versus Shingo Takagi. That looks like a stellar night. The second round on the left-hand side looks really, really good. I'm very excited for Okada versus Nagata, and I'm actually really excited for Makabe versus Ishii now that you've put it that way, Chris.
Yeah, it's... it's shaping up like, again, we're getting rid of a lot of the no hope is fairly early on, apart from in the lower right, but like that's unavoidable at that point.
Yeah, exactly. I think once you've got Goto versus Yoshihashi, or once Yoshihashi gets out of that match with Tenzan, and once Goto's through with Takahashi, you've got two very good matches there between Goto and Evil, and Yoshihashi versus either Yo or Bushi. Both of those matches I'd be excited for.
Yeah, especially like Bushi versus Yoshihashi, because he's so that's basically the school bully situation, isn't it?
Absolutely. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back on Wednesday night, our usual programming slot, to review nights 3 and 4 of the New Japan Cup. We apologise for the delay, but we had certain things that meant we just couldn't record. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. You can listen to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, whether that is Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review. Hit that subscribe button. It really does help. Go to the website, www.podmania.co.uk, where you can check out all of our archived episodes, as well as all the match ratings, including the ones that we've given tonight for the first two nights of the New Japan Cup. You can talk to us on Twitter at Young Lion Cast, join the Facebook group Podmania Podcasts, and don't forget to go and subscribe to the YouTube channel Real Podmania. You can talk to me on Twitter at Real Rob Goodwin. Chris, where can they find you?
Somewhere in Scotland.
That'll do for me. Thank you so much for listening, guys, and we'll be back on Wednesday. It's our usual time. We'll talk to you guys then.